it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
93.7 The Fan will showcase a different community each Saturday through the Youth Football Showcase with a special visit from members of the fan staff. Do you want 93.7 The Fan to visit your game? Just email youthsports@937thefan.com with your group name, your group's main contact information, and potential dates. Details at 93.7thefan.com now. Brought to you by Steel City Shredding, Saloni's Italian Bread, and Pelman Electric. Aaron Rodgers was electric on Sunday, unless, of course, you ask Pro Football Focus. Rodgers after the game with Evan Washburn of CBS.
There's a lot of garbage being talked out, you know, about myself or Arthur or whatever out there, how we're going to coexist. We got a great relationship. He called a really good game. I got to play a little better in spots, but happy to be 1-0.
My wife texted me immediately following the game, and she said, I love her so much. Did Rodgers just call you out? I said, what are you talking about? She said, were you saying that Rodgers and Arthur Smith couldn't coexist? I said, I think a lot of people were wondering about that, but I don't know that it's even so much about Rodgers as it was with how last season ended with Russell Wilson and Arthur Smith.
Right.
But yeah, I think there's a curiosity factor for a lot of people. How's it going to mesh? Because of, again, what happened down the stretch last year with Russell Wilson and Arthur Smith, according to pretty much everybody, the a pretty well-known secret, he would rather have played Justin Fields down the stretch. But I think you and I were bullish on what Arthur Smith and Aaron Rodgers could do. And after one game, I don't think bullish even is a strong enough word.
Mm-hmm.
Doran, how many times have we seen in recent years guys wide open? I've watched so many games. You watch so many games, college and pro, and the truly elite coordinators, they help their quarterbacks out so much. How many times have you watched Brock Purdy throw to wide open dudes? There's all kinds of eye candy. Next thing you know, he avoids the rush and there's someone running wide open down the field. That has happened so few and far between in Pittsburgh over really the last 6-7 years
yeah.
that it was almost staggering to see it. And so the question that I posed going to break was, do you think the ceiling for this team is higher now after watching game one? I need to see that for a couple more, I think, but I'm leaning towards yes. If you can get a little bit better protection, if you can get a little bit better in the running game, I think Arthur Smith and Aaron Rodgers are a match made in heaven.
I do too. I mean, it opens everything up. I mean, you think, like you just said, you explained it, you know, perfectly. You get the run game going a little bit. You figure out a way to get some more protections. Maybe you add another protection that could help Broderick Jones. You add another player, but you think of the different types of things that they could do. I mean, with the underneath route, you almost have every level of the field kind of taken care of in the passing game. So, like, you take your deep shots, you run your play action off of the run game, and then all of a sudden you do hit that screen to Jonnu Smith underneath, and then he takes it, you know, 50 yards, 40 yards. Like, those things are going to hit even bigger as things open up as the season goes on, if you do kind of shore up the other sides of the issues that you have.
There's a trust factor between the two. You can tell.
It's Arthur Smith's offense and Aaron Rodgers is driving. It's Arthur Smith's bus and Aaron Rodgers is driving it.
Rodgers ain't out there drawing plays up in the dirt. Anything that he audibles into, out of, are plays within the Arthur Smith playbook.
Yeah.
And I think Arthur, at least through one game, it looked comfortable with that being the case. And some of those play designs, you go back and you watch, beautiful, beautiful. You have a wide receiver. Roger, Orlovsky did a great job breaking it down, where I think it was Skoranek gets motioned, and he's in the C-gap at the snap of the football. Rodgers is pointing basically like, hey, block this guy. And so the defense reacts as if it's going to be a running play, and the next thing you know, he's wide-ass open.
Yep.
And they ran the same play twice, and it's just...
But you set that up with a run, and then that's why you use a guy like Skoranek, who's a bigger body, you know, tough receiver, to go in there and sift block. That's what that's called, to go hit a safety.
Well, sift block?
Sift block a linebacker, a safety, on a run play, because he's tough and he's big enough to do it, and then it's slip right by and then be able to hit him down the field.
Gorgeous. It's just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Not only do you have a guy that you know is going to find the open man, you actually had open dudes. And then Rodgers made some tough throws, too. He did. One of the first third downs on that first drive, I want to say, the laser beam over the middle to Pat Freiermuth. Later in the game, same thing, laser beam Pat Freiermuth. The back shoulder ball down the sideline to Calvin Austin the third. That's a great throw from Rodgers. But then he had easy stuff in there, too. And how many times were there run plays where Rodgers gets the ball and bang, just throws it off to the side? You know, gets it out of his hand quick because he knows, okay, I'm going to count the guys in the box. Get it outside. Easy math that I don't think down the stretch last year, I mean, the eyes tell us this, the reporting tells us this, they were letting Russell Wilson do. Which, look, I don't trust Russ as much as I trust Rodgers, but that's almost criminal that they wouldn't let him do it. You were playing at a disadvantage, but I think Rodgers' brain and Arthur Smith can be a pretty damn good combination this year. And I need to see it a couple of more times. I thought Rodgers could play 4, 5, 6 games where he played at an elite level, something that I didn't think the other quarterbacks last year were capable of. I did not expect one of them to be week one. So now I have all kind of visions of sugar plums dancing in my head. Now you do that week one without any practice, you're only going to get better.
Yep.
Feel pretty good about it. And I think they can win a playoff game.
But you just said that they weren't going to win a playoff game.
When?
Last Thursday.
Well, then I saw him play. New information. Because you know what we saw from the defense? We saw a Steelers playoff-level defense. Not what you need to win in the playoffs, but the level of defense that they've brought to the playoffs in the 5 games they've played the last 8 years. The difference? Their quarterback responded.
Yeah, against the Jets.
Oh, so what? You have to do it against who you're playing. I feel like last year they lose that game 32-12. With Rodgers, like we saw the Jets just waltz down the field. And I think because of their own conservative nature, kicked the field goal. They didn't end a drive without scoring points the entire first half.
Mm-hmm.
And Rodgers was answering. Like they marched down the field, hot knife through butter, and Rodgers leads them on that 10-play, 71-yard touchdown drive. Bang, that was a response. Every punch they threw, he had a counter punch. We ain't seen that since Ben Roethlisberger was walking up and down the sidelines. And that's got me pseudo-optimistic that should you find yourself in a playoff game when your defense sucks because it has for the last 8 years anytime they've made the playoffs, okay, you came warm to the fight. Not that you ever want to
right. Or
you should have to, but instead of being down 20-0 after the first quarter like it feels like they are every damn playoff game, all right, now it's 17-14 and you can live to fight into the second quarter. Makes all the difference in the world. Texter, you're all over the place after one game against crap Jets. Calm down. And the quarterback threw 4 touchdowns. Yes, Harry.
Why do you think the sports books don't let you change your bets mid-game when you get new information?
I ain't betting right now. I'm just giving my opinion.
I mean, why do you think they don't let that happen?
As information changes, so too should opinion. I've always expected Rodgers to be pretty good. I didn't think he'd come out and throw 4 damn touchdowns and be second in the league in passer rating after a game.
And that's why you lost odds and ends.
I did. Substantially. To you, Mackey, and Doran. 412-928-9370.
I'm serious though. Do you think that you cursed this team because you
cursed them?
Why don't you just keep your prediction like steady? Why don't you stay confident? I think because you move around all the time, then you cause the Steelers to have bad fate. I think it's bad juju.
You think Crowley's the reason why?
Yeah, maybe if Crowley would just stick to his
prediction.
You're
giving him way too much credit there.
I think Tomlin's listening right now. I think because I've changed my prediction, they are now motivated to win a playoff game when they otherwise would not have been.
No, you've cursed them. Now they're going to lose one because you're like, oh, yeah, now they won a playoff game. They won one game. Now they're going to win a playoff game. Yeah, they're good enough.
It's not what they did. It's how they did it. And we talked about it on Friday. Like they have for years had one path to victory.
Yeah, but you got to realize who they did it against.
I know, but I still think they'd have lost this any of the last 5 years. Like, you tell me the Steelers' rush defense gives up 185 yards and they rush themselves for 2.7 yards a carry and they give up four sacks. That's a loss 100 times out of 100 the last half decade.
I mean, if they don't get a, you know, a fumble back, they don't win.
Sure.
I don't like
sure.
it.
Sure. But the fumble wouldn't have made a difference in any of the last 5 years because they'd have been down 20 points. Like, they orchestrated a different way to win a football game. Everyone should be dancing around in the streets right now.
They still
now.
Came from behind. They've been coming from behind for years.
They were down 9 points. That's two scores. I would have told you if they fell behind nine any of the last 5 years, I wouldn't have felt good about it. But I actually weirdly felt really good all game long. I never hung my head. I didn't think that they... I wasn't super confident that they were going to win, but I thought Rodgers was going to keep responding, and he did. I haven't had that feeling since 2018 Roethlisberger.
Yeah, but is he going to be able to do that this week? Is he going to be able to do that next week? That's
right.
The problem. Like, that's why I wouldn't be dancing in the streets right now, because there's a lot of issues that you need to fix in order for Aaron Rodgers to be at the top of his game and not have to win games like that.
Or maybe Chris Boswell could just kick 7 65-yard field goals in a game to help the offense.
That's
score.
What he did week one last year. You're making my point. Like, that's what we're used to seeing week one, is Boswell kick 18 field goals and you win a game. Your quarterback won you that football game. Yes, with an assist, a big one from Chris Boswell. We're used to seeing that. What right. we're not used to seeing is four touchdown passes in a game from a guy who didn't get protected and for a team that did not run the football. They got to clean stuff up. Of course they got to clean stuff up. They play defense like this all year, there's no hope. They run the ball like this all year, there's no hope. But I'm expecting at least the defense to turn it around and probably significantly. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates. Weigh in on this conversation. It's a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Our Odyssey NFL insider, Jason LaConfora, will join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll see if he's heard anything about the Steelers poking around on Tyreek Hill. But we'll take your calls coming up next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can join Chris Muller at the Verizon store in Monroeville on Thursday from 4 to 6. Verizon is registering customers for the chance to win a pair of tickets to the game versus Seattle. Along with a basket of black and gold merchandise, Verizon is the official 5G provider of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So go say hello to Mulsey. Texter writes in, what game are you watching? Steelers got manhandled. Time of possession, rushing, passing. I mean, the Steelers lost the game but won the scoring. You're making it seem like the Steelers are ready for the playoffs. No, I'm not. I look at that as a positive, though. They did not play well in most aspects, and they won the game. That tells me you've got a damn good quarterback. Got to keep him upright.
Mm-hmm.
Got to keep him healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a ton of confidence that they're going to do either of those things right now, but should they, then yeah, I feel really good about where they are because I like the damn quarterback. Did you see the way he jumped through the air, through that fist pump up, Doran?
Yes.
Injected into my veins.
Yes.
They haven't had a guy throw four touchdowns in a game since Ben. Forgive me for being
That's
a little
crazy.
Excited about it. It is nuts.
Crazy.
Kenny Pickett once threw six in a season. He threw four in a game. And that's not me taking a slight at Kenny. That's just how things have looked around here. I mean, my God. And the other thing is, here's another stat we went over on Friday. The Steelers have had, what, nine quarterbacks going back the last 10 years or whatever it is. Only one of them has a losing record, and that's Mitch Trubisky. This guy's a lot damn better, at least what he showed on Sunday, than any of the guys that have been here since late career Ben. And he's got an arm that late career Ben didn't possess either. He doesn't move well. Ben didn't move well. But Rodgers' arm looks damn good, Doran. So I don't want to like get overly ahead of myself here and snort all the week one hopium. I'm doing a little bit of that, but it's because, my God, give me some grace here. I haven't seen a quarterback come in and play this well in these circumstances for a really long time.
And it is nice that, I mean, you never want to overlook anybody, but it is nice that you have Seattle in New England coming up, where you have a home game, you have an away game against a young New England team, and then a Seattle team that's just like, meh. So it does give you a little bit of leeway to work on things, to fix things before you have to travel to Ireland, and then obviously division play is right around the corner after the bye week. So this does give you a little bit of time. You would hope that things get fixed this week, but these aren't two juggernauts that you're going against, is basically what I'm saying.
I agree with that. And who knows? It could look all kind of goofy in Ireland. Have you seen what's happened to Kansas State, by the way?
Mm-mm.
So Kansas State opens up in Ireland. They lose in Ireland. They stink their next time out, but find a way to win the game they don't cover against a not great opponent. And then they lose to Army, and Army had just lost to Tarleton State. Bad things seem to happen to the loser of these Ireland games. So go over there and win.
Yep.
Goofy stuff happens. We mentioned on Friday, the Steelers were 2-8 last year when giving up 19 or more points. They're already 1-0 now. The Steelers had not scored a touchdown on their opening drive of the season since 2008.
Oh, my goodness.
And they did it on Sunday. And the Steelers didn't score a touchdown on their first possession of any game last season. So forgive me about being excited that the Steelers have a quarterback that was able to help buck those recent trends. And would I like to see them not get manhandled? Duh. Like, I don't want to see Aaron on his back. I don't want to see the running backs get hit at, near, or behind the line of scrimmage. I don't want to lose the man meat battles up front, but that they did and still won, I think that's a good sign. Now, if they continue to routinely get manhandled on both lines of scrimmage, then that's going to spell disaster and sacrifice, but I'll give them some time to improve there. 412-928-9370. Should we go to Paul in Washington?
Sure.
Okay, hi, Paul.
Hey, Crowley, I don't know what game you was watching, bud, but you need to stop drinking whatever Kool-Aid you're drinking, because Hayward got manhandled, the defensive got manhandled, Slay looked like an old guy, there's a reason Philly didn't sign him, Joey Porter is a second-round bust, and I don't know who the rest of the guys are on the defense, because they were nowhere to be found. They were MIA. Crowley, you gotta talk yourself back into reality, buddy, because this is all make-believe right now. So
Paul,
think about that before you go drinking that Kool-Aid, bud.
Paul, they're 1-0. Their quarterback,
they're 1-0, Crowley.
Their quarterback threw four touchdowns.
Jets. You've lost your friggin' mind. Oh my God,
Paul!
Paul, I can see if they're playing the Ravens.
Off, Crowley, and get your ballerina slippers on, because you've lost your mind. If you think this team is good, seriously, let them play a real team and see what the hell happens, Crowley.
Well, sure, they can only play who they were scheduled to play on Sunday, Paul.
I understand that, but if Fields,
Paul,
doesn't
Paul,
give
Paul,
the ball
Paul,
and he holds it,
Paul,
they make two other scores. And they beat the Steelers.
They lost the game, Paul. You can't. Oh, if they win the game, then the Steelers would have lost. Thank you, Paul. Listen, was that a Ace Ventura Pet Detective reference from him, I think? Put your ballerina slippers on because you've gone crazy. If that is, then I love you, Paul.
Yeah.
And maybe not. We can continue to have sports debates here. That's fine. You can disagree. We can yell at each other. It's fun. Yeah, they played the Jets. Like I said, you got to keep doing it. But Cam Hayward didn't look good. Do I expect Cam Hayward to be a bad player this year? No, I don't. He was all pro last year. He got poked in the eye. He probably wasn't thinking enough about the game in the lead up. I expect that to be all figured out now. I think the defense is going to be better. They didn't have Derek Harmon. I'm not sitting here planning a parade. I'm saying they got a quarterback that could maybe help them win a playoff game. And he played. Did he not play good football on Sunday?
Yeah, he played good football.
Okay.
But around him wasn't good football, really.
Yeah.
That's going to be an issue, because there's going to be a time where he doesn't play good football and he's going to need around him to play good football.
You also didn't
play the Ravens. You didn't play the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
You played the Jets.
Yeah.
With Justin Fields and
right.
a new head coach.
Yeah.
A win's a win, I get it, but
I don't
that's
think
it. That's it.
I don't think a win's a win. If they won this game 12-10, or what did I predict, 11-6, I'd be sitting here going, okay, same old Steelers. They got a quarterback that threw four touchdowns. That's got me excited.
So did the Jets, basically.
Ah, he took an L.
You know, when Paul says if the Jets would have done one less one more thing, the Steelers would have lost. I think the comparison there is not, oh, look, you know, the Steelers would have lost if the Jets would have won. I think the comparison is there are plenty of better teams than the Steelers, and other teams won't make those mistakes that the Jets did.
Eh, it's September. Everyone's making mistakes. Every game, save for four, came down to one score. That's the NFL. You make plays or you don't. You win or you lose. Every game's going to be close. Let's talk to Jason LaConfora coming up next. He's going to join us on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. He's our Odyssey NFL insider. Are the Steelers really sniffing around Tyreek Hill? We'll ask him.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is Tuesday at 9:35, which means it is time to talk to Odyssey NFL insider Jason LaConfora, host of the Odyssey original podcast, In the Huddle. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Jason, good morning. Thank you for jumping on with us. And you're firing Harbaugh if the Ravens don't win the Super Bowl. I think he's frozen.
He's frozen.
He's frozen in the same way that Caboldi was frozen yesterday. And now he is gone.
It was working perfectly. I don't know what he did.
He might not have done anything. It could be a doohickey problem.
Gremlin.
Could be a gremlin. Could be a doohickey. Who knows? Give him a call back. Jason, who has always trumpeted for Mike Tomlin, who has always trumpeted for Harbaugh, he said if they don't win the Super Bowl in Baltimore, then Harbaugh should be kicked to the curb. I don't disagree with that.
I don't either.
If you look at what Harbaugh has done and you look at what Tomlin has done, their careers are very similar. The difference is Tomlin started with the franchise quarterback. Now Harbaugh has the franchise quarterback, but he's had more failures of late with the franchise quarterback. I look at them as pretty much one and the same.
The same, yes. I mean, but they've been so close lately, and they have an MVP, and they have one of the, you know, the top, you know, one or two best running backs in the game. You got to win.
What's funny is I don't disagree with the take, and if I were doing Baltimore Ravens radio, I would be saying the same thing. Like, you win the damn thing, or at least get there.
Yeah.
Or you're gone. I'd be saying the same thing if I was doing radio in Buffalo.
No doubt.
With McDermott.
Yeah.
And I think both guys are really good coaches.
But you have the MVPs. At the hardest position.
Exactly right.
Gotta win.
Exactly right.
Can't have the best player in the game at the hardest position in the game and not even sniff it.
I think the best two quarterbacks in football, and I'll put Rodgers' performance in the top five, maybe top three, behind these two guys. I thought Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen were the best two quarterbacks in the league on Sunday night. All right, Jason is joining us right now. We got all kind of technical issues going on. Jason, not your fault. How you doing today? No,
I'm starting to think this is that we got ghost in the machine here. This is not meant to happen. Everything was fine during the whole break, and then boom, as soon as you start talking, it just cuts out. I'm good. How's everybody in Pittsburgh? A win is a win is a win.
Oh, I mean, we got a franchise quarterback for the next 16 weeks unless he gets hurt, and then we won't.
Well, yeah.
There you go.
And I don't know that you want him throwing that many times for that few yards. You know what I mean? Like that high volume with kind of not a lot of bang for your buck. I don't know that you're going to get through 17 weeks navigating that many passes for that little bit of a length and coming out with four touchdowns and no picks. But hey, I thought the Jets defense was going to be better than that. I thought the Steelers defense was going to be better than that. And to see the Steelers win a shootout where you needed 33 to win, and Boswell is a legend in my house now because that kept a lot of bets alive for me. Boswell is on his way to my betting hall of fame. He keeps that up because I do like me a good Steelers money line pretty much every week.
Well, if there is a reason for week one hopium, it's, to use Mike Tomlin's words, they were able to engineer victory in a way that really the last 5 years they haven't. They were 2-8 last season when the defense gave up 19 or more. They're 1-0 now. I'm interested, though, in what's going on with Baltimore, too, Jason, because you've put John Harbaugh on the hot seat, Super Bowl or bust.
He is for me. I'm not the billionaire who owns the team, right? Though, you know, who doesn't want to fire anybody and doesn't really want to, like, nobody's seen him around here in 5 years. He lives on a yacht in Florida. Like, you know, if you're lucky, if you get into his booth and you're part of, you know, the prawn and, you know, the prawn sandwich and, you know, filet mignon club, then I guess you know what he's thinking, but he hasn't bothered to speak to the fans here in a half decade. Yeah, I think everybody over there is really comfortable because as long as Silent Steve owns the team, he's not firing DaCosta. Like, he's not going to hold DaCosta to the fire. He's not going to fly all over the country, have to get off that yacht and interview people all over the place. Like, it's just not happening. And he's already said he'll sell the team. He's not keeping it in his family. So I think those guys are pretty comfortable that, look, we're good as long, you know, he keeps giving us extensions and, you know, he's not asking a whole lot of probing questions and he's not saying anything about us on, you know, to the fan base. So we're good. And to this point, look, you guys know Baltimore and Pittsburgh is similar. You guys have been asking me about Tomlin forever and people have been asking me about Harbaugh forever here because he hasn't gotten over the hump in a long time. And I've always been, hey, he's still like, he gets you in the dance every year, you know, like you could do so much worse. Who are you going to hire to replace him? How are you, you know, like, but I'm at the point now where you open a season that way, you can't get your fourth quarter and end of the first half sideline in check. Like, you can't execute a smooth operation on offense, defense, special teams. You got too many guys on the field. You got a rookie kicker who, you know, you can't get him out there the way you should. And B, you leave too much time for Josh Allen to come back on you. Then, you know, Allen's got to throw a sideline pass. They got no timeouts and you tackle a guy out of bounds and then you blow the fourth quarter. They're historically significant blowing multi-score fourth quarter leads. And that's how you open the season. Like, nah, man, it's been going on too long. He's the common denominator. He opened the season already in excuse-making mode. People say we're Super Bowl or bust. You've never played the game. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Nah, bro, that's your plot in life. They pay you $15 million a year around here and leave you alone, and you got to show up in January and not have teams that pee down their leg when it matters most. It's unbelievable, man. It's unfathomable to keep blowing games the way they do. So, yeah, for me, he's on notice, but that doesn't matter because I don't think Bisciotti's beyond that. He's going to ride with these dudes till he sells the team.
Jason, have you heard anything about the Steelers sniffing around in a trade with Tyreek Hill and the Miami Dolphins?
I haven't. I mean, look, I've written about this at the Washington Post. Like, they clearly are always in a different mode now. They are always in player acquisition mode. They're on top of everything that's happening in this league. They're at least peripherally, you know, exploring. I think at a certain point in time, though, and you guys have seen that there, a couple of personalities, one thing, like a whole receiver room full of them. And I don't know that the juice is worth the squeeze. Like, they've been trying to dump Tyreek's salary for a long time. Like, this idea that, like, around the roster cuts, hey, he's available. They've been trying to get out from under it for months. Nobody wants it. The juice isn't worth the squeeze. They're billionaires not willing to eat enough of the money to make anybody even take a chance on it. I've learned now to never say never about them and anything, but I don't think that guy at this stage of his career with that attitude is going to solve, you know, put them over the top even more. I don't see it. They got to figure out the run game, right? I mean, to me, like, you got to figure out your run game, and that can't be Steelers defense.
No, it cannot. It cannot. It looked like a continuation of that playoff game against Baltimore last year. And I imagine if Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson were on the other sideline on Sunday, it would have looked very similar. Jason, we'll get the squirrel running on the thing a little bit faster next week. We'll get you on in time. We appreciate you jumping on.
And I don't know, technical difficulties, but
it'll happen. It's week one. It's week one.
It wasn't meant to be.
Thank you, Jason. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Thanks.
That's Odyssey NFL insider Jason LaConfora. Strong from Jason there, host of the Odyssey original podcast In the Huddle. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. He's come over to the dark side, though, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you want him gone for not winning a Super Bowl, you can make all the same arguments for Mike Tomlin.
I don't think so, because they're a lot closer, and they just can't get over the
hump. Oh, but their goal is, let's win the damn thing, and they can't. And our goal right now, unfortunately, though it's not the stated goal, is win the damn playoff thing.
Right.
And they can't do that.
Right.
So, right, Tom, if you're going to fire Harbaugh, you really should fire Tomlin. Right? Now, their issue is they blow leads at a rate
all
which
time.
Is just unfathomable. Tomlin's issue is they ain't getting up for playoff games. I mean, they ain't even getting off the team bus before it's 21-0 or whatever it is. We'll talk to Jason next week. We'll react to what he had to say about Tyreek Hill. I think there's some good stuff in there. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com was this segment. Neil Walker, who couldn't join us today, brought to you by Mike Camlin Hyundai, home of the Mike Camlin Advantage Oil Changes for Life. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Ben Tenuta's doing that thing where he puts his phone in our face and says, hey, who's going to win the backyard brawl? Hey, what do you think about Aaron Rodgers? Then he puts together cute videos that do like a million hits on the Twitter, the TikTok, the Instagram, the Facebook. Who's going to win the backyard brawl puts me in a really bad spot.
Why?
Because.
Because why?
It ain't going to be my team.
Who's it going to be?
Your team.
Who's my team?
The Pittsburgh Panthers.
There you go.
Yeah.
Held a pit.
He also blinded me with the flash. I legit have...
Whatever happened to your glasses, by the way?
Big green blotch. My eyes got better.
Oh.
I think...
Eat some carrots?
I don't know what happened. I am a disaster, dude.
I can tell.
I don't know if my eyes were bad or if I was just anxious that my eyes were bad.
My headache is not worse because of that. He had the flash on with me, too. But I'm trying to keep it.
Do you have a big
green
blotch in the middle of your eyesight? Because I do.
Yep.
Still, 4 minutes later.
Ouchie.
Lachan Fora said he hadn't heard anything about the Steelers and Tyreek Hill, but he also said, a nice little nugget, they've checked on everything.
Yep.
Anybody who's available, they're checking in on, which I think is relevant in the near future, even more so than in a potential Tyreek Hill trade closer to the deadline. We're going to find out from Tomlin today what's going on with Deshaun Elliott, what's going on with Joey Porter Jr., but I think Elliott's the one to keep an eye on. He's a good box-strong safety. If he's out for a considerable length of time, I do wonder if they would kick the tires on a Jabril Peppers.
Because
I think Peppers is pretty damn good and plays the game a lot like Deshaun Elliott.
Yes.
So we'll see what Tomlin says about him today. We'll see if Tomlin gets grilled at all about Broderick Jones and whether or not there might be a benching in the future. I have a terrible headache now, too. I can't see anything. I'm totally blind. I like staring at the sun, which you're not supposed to do.
No, you're not. Yep.
Didn't somebody on the Penguins stare directly at the solar eclipse?
I don't know.
I might have made that up.
Yeah, I think Odell Beckham did.
That was it.
How do you get that mixed up with the Penguins?
You can hit me. That one's a mistake. That counts. That's fine. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 5:40. Donnie Football is coming up next, filling in for Joe. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high of 76, low of 48, clear skies. Goodbye.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.